Today on Hands Over Photography, I'm going to share just an awesome photography tip for you regarding your post-processing. Heck, even before you even click the shutter. Well, let me take that back. I'm not going to share that tip. One of my good friends, professional photographer Steve Brazel, he's going to share this tip. Stay tuned.
This is TWiT.
Hey folks, I'm Matt Pruitt, and this is Hands On Photography here on TWiT TV. Hope y'all are doing well. I am unbelievable as always. This episode this week is something different, and I just can't wait to share it with you all. But first, let me just do my bit of a preamble for all of you folks out there listening to the show for the very first time. Welcome, and thank you to you. But first, go ahead and do me a favor and hit subscribe in whatever podcast application you're enjoying this on. I don't care if it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or even our YouTube channel. Go ahead and hit subscribe and go back and check out all of our previous episodes so you can get your learning on around this wonderful world of photography. And once you're done with all of that, go ahead and give me a nice little rating and a star comment and all of that good stuff that's going to help push us up in the podcatcher's wonderful algorithm. And, you know, help us get a little bit more recognition to the show here and grow the hands-on photography community. So thank you for all of that. And if you're just looking for all of our subscription options, it's available on the website twit.tv/hop. That's twit.tv/HOP for hands-on photography. So now let's go ahead and get started with this week's show, because I'm chomping at the bit here, if you will. Well, I put a call out to some of my favorite photographers and said, hey, you know what? Would you mind sharing your number one tip that you'd like to share for photographers, whether it's beginners, whether it's seasoned veterans, or whether it's someone that's just sort of a, enthusiast, is just trying to level their game up, or it's just a tip that you can't go without. You're always taking advantage of this tip in your workflow. And to my delight, they all said, heck yes, Ant. So I'm pumped about it. And today I have my man, my good friend, my brother in lens, my brother in whiskey, Mr. Steve Brazel, joining us today. Mr. Brazel, how you be, sir?
For having me on as always. Hop is one of my favorite shows, and the TWiT Network is the de facto network, in my opinion, for podcasts. So I'm happy to be here, buddy.
Oh my goodness, dude. You just flatter us oh so too much, man. Thank you so much for joining me this week. Now tell people briefly a little bit about yourself and your work, far as what type of photography you typically like to do, before we let you get started with your tip for this week.
So I mean, the short version is I'm a live music photographer. I photograph live music. The longer version is what I really consider live music to be, because I also do shoot a few other things on occasion. I'll shoot martial arts or, you know, that type of thing. It's low light action photography. That's pretty much what I photograph. And if you go to my website, stevebrazel.com, by the way, it's like Brazil, but two L's, you'll kind of see the different galleries of the type of stuff that I shoot. Same with Instagram or Twitter. It's at Steve Brazel.
Now, I know doing concert photography is quite a bit of a challenge right now, considering the state of the world, but I'm sure you're doing just fine and getting your hands in some other pies and doing some other things creatively, right?
Yes, I am. I've got my podcast. I do a podcast as well. Can I mention the name of the podcast?
Yes, you may.
Okay, so I do the Behind the Shot podcast at behindtheshot.tv. And that's kind of, think of it as an interview of a photograph. So I have a guest on, we pick one photo and we dissect that photo, how it was made, basically trying to understand why that photographer made the choices that they made in making that. And then I'm also doing some workshop stuff, Princeton Photo Workshops coming up in April. It's three consecutive weeks, an hour and a half each week. I'm doing the Challenges of Low Light Action Photography workshop. So I'm looking forward to that too.
See, that's another thing that I love about this photography community that I am so proud to be a part of. Not only is everyone in this community super talented with their skill and art, but they are willing to share what they've learned. You know, they've gone through the fire, if you will, and have been burned a few times. So they know a couple of tips and tricks, and they don't want you to be burned by those same little mistakes that they've made in the past. And I really do love that.
It really is about moving the photography community forward. Right. I mean, that to me is really what it's all about is, like you say, I haven't been able to shoot a concert for quite some time because concerts are shut down at the time that we're recording this.
Yep.
But I still believe in photography. I still believe in the community that we have out there, whether it's a well-known photographer or not. And anything that we can do to try and move that forward, I think is really, really a good thing.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Now, so go ahead and give me a quick rundown of what you're going to share with our Hands on Photography listeners today, my man.
Okay, so I've got two things, and they're both fairly quick, but they kind of relate to each other. So I'm going to do a tip for when you're actually shooting action photography. My tip is pretty much action photography based. But then once you get the shots, I've got kind of a quick technique for you. And first of all, let's start with the tip.
Okay.
The tip that I want to mention is keep both of your eyes open. One of the problems, I wish problem's probably the wrong word, but one of the things that I see a lot of people do, if they're not using live view, and what I shoot, you generally don't use live view. Your dominant eye is up to the viewfinder of the camera. And a lot of people, their secondary eye is closed. And my tip for you is open your second eye, especially if you're doing live music photography or any kind of action photography. And here's why. Quite often with action photography, you're photographing your son or daughter's soccer game, or you're photographing a baseball or football, high school football game, or whatever action you happen to be shooting. Quite often, if you are looking in tunnel vision through a 70 to 200 at a particular scene to photograph it, there could be something happening elsewhere in the overall scene that you miss because of that tunnel vision. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples from those. So as an example, this particular shot here, this is from Warped Tour a number of years ago. And it's a band called Barbed Wire Dolls. Now, in this particular scene, really what I want you to look at is the other photographers that are not photographing this moment. They're all friends of mine, but you'll notice one guy has a hat on backwards, and he's still photographing the band members on stage. A couple other people are too. The guy in the beanie, friend of mine, Troy, great photographer, by the way, Troy, but he's also not photographing this moment where the lead singer
right.
jumped off the stage and is now interacting with the crowd. That's a moment I want to capture. Well, the reason that I happen to catch this particular scene is because my left eye was open while my right eye was at the viewfinder photographing the drummer.
Now, I got to tell you, I'm guilty of that myself, of just sort of squinting my eye just out of habit and totally missing things flying by me. So that's an excellent tip. But sorry,
yeah,
proceed.
And no, but you're right. And that is, I think sometimes we all know that we're doing it and we just don't think about it until you miss a shot.
Mm-hmm.
So this particular shot here, this is Butcher Babies, Heidi the Butcher. This is a moment I would not have wanted to miss.
Right.
The fans are grabbing her leg. They are grabbing her hair.
The energy.
Right? The energy here. This is the moment. I don't want to be photographing the bass player right now. Nothing personal to the bass player, obviously.
Right.
But these types of moments you only get by having your eye open. And here's another great example of a moment like this. This fan interacting with the lead singer of an English band by the name of Don Brocco. This is a moment I don't want to miss. And if think about live music, in this scene that you see here, it was so loud. I have earplugs in. So if he goes into the audiences and is doing this scene, and I'm simply tunnel vision through a 70 to 200 photographing the drummer,
mm-hmm.
I could get great shots.
Right.
Right. Not saying that, but I'm arguably missing a moment that can't be recreated.
Right.
And now I'm going to tell you about a scene where I almost missed it. In this particular scene, I was photographing the guitarist with a 70 to 200 on.
Oh, look at this shot.
My left eye was closed. I got lucky, put the camera down that I was done, and realized he was already all the way at the top of a speaker stack getting ready to jump off. I was able to quickly turn, focus, snap a couple of shots as he was dropping the microphone.
So right? For the people listening to this on audio, you were looking essentially frame right, lower right third with your telephoto?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, like in this particular shot, I'm on the opposite side of the stage, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm photographing one band member, and when I put my camera down to think, what do I want to photograph now? He'd already climbed up. Now, had I had an eye open, mm-hmm. I would have had more time to think about it and focus and expose and compose, etc. In this case, it was, oh no.
Yeah, you had less than a second.
Yeah, it happens very, very quickly. Let me give you a really good example. You know the band Nirvana, right?
Of course.
Okay, well, this guy on the right in the white shirt is the bass player for Nirvana, Chris. Okay. This is his new band called Giants in the Trees. Well, as I'm photographing them, most people were, I want to photograph the bass player. I don't care about the rest of the band. I want to photograph him, get a photo of the bass player of Nirvana. And they may have not realized they switched the drummers and Dave Grohl of Nirvana.
I was getting ready to say, that looks like Dave Grohl back there with glasses on.
Sat down at the drum. So again, if you are tunnel vision with your eye to the viewfinder, looking through whatever lens it is, and really concentrating and not at the same time using your peripheral vision, you can miss shots. And in cases, certain cases, the shot that you miss, I consider what I do, live music photography and a lot of action photography, photojournalistic, right?
Right.
Well,
right.
In some cases, you will miss the consummate moment at an event, the storytelling moment at an event like this one here. This is Warped Tour. And I'm photographing a band member. My left eye is open, and I happen to see the guy without the shirt, the lead singer, Jason, jump off the stage. And I think something's about to happen. Because my eye was open, I was able to see this, turn, realize this room is almost pitch dark. Yeah. I'm at 6400 ISO, 24 millimeters, F4, 1/20th of a second. I'm not going to change my exposure because it's too dark.
Right.
So I find a friend of mine on the other side, Jose, photographing Jason from the other side. Focus on a static object so that something in the frame is sharp.
Right.
Or sharp enough. While I know blur is going to be happening, Jason starts taking the crowd surfers and helping them up on the stage. But because I had the time, because I saw it, I was able to get an entire crowd surfer in the shot as well. And here's another example. This is Cage the Elephant. I almost missed this one. He climbed down right after this. I didn't realize he was up there for over a minute. Because I was photographing someone else and in my own little world, this is a moment. This is Cage the Elephant, by the way. This is a moment that I want.
Love it.
And with this particular show, there were so many moments like this. And the last example I'm going to show you on this tip of keeping both your eyes open is Cage the Elephant. Again, I call this shot not Mick Jagger because everybody thinks it's Mick Jagger. But this particular shot, he had gone in the audience 3-4 times, and I had, oh no, and because my eye wasn't open, I didn't see him climb down. And by the time I got there, he was surrounded by photographers and I couldn't get the shot. But I knew he'd do it again.
Yeah.
So this is the perfect example. I kept my eye open knowing it was going to happen while I was shooting. And as soon as he moved towards doing this, I was the first one on the scene and got what I was one of my favorite shots of all time, whether anybody else likes it or not. For my art, this is everything I wanted in a photograph. You can see my work area on the right, the photo pit with the photographers.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the audience with their hands in the air and the one girl in the glasses that's freaking out because she gets to touch.
She's Matt looking Schultz, back right? Like, can you believe this?
This is that moment that I kept my eye open and got, which leads me to my technique.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with action photography is exposure changes drastically very quickly. So in this particular shot, I'm exposing for the lead singer, Matt Schultz. But I use a technique. I actually use a radial filter, not a vignette to darken mm-hmm. the edges. I'll explain why. But I use a radial filter, and here's why. This is the shot right here before the radial filter goes on. Okay? Without the radial filter, this is a totally fine shot. People would love this particular shot if they got it.
I do.
Matt's exposed, but here's the problem with it. Stage is bright. The pit is bright. The hands in the air are bright, and your eye goes to the brightest item. Now, I could just do a vignette. What's the problem with a vignette?
Vignette's more global, right?
It's more global, and it's only exposure, generally.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to stop thinking of just exposure and think targeted edits. What do I really care about here? I care about in this particular shot or in any of my shots, a lot of times I want to bring the highlights down or the whites down, or I want to bring dehaze up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, by doing this radial filter here, watch it off. This is the shot with it actually not on. And watch the change as I turn the radial filter back on. Here we go. Ready? You'll see it darken on the sides. Now, that's not just a vignette.
Right.
In this particular case, I am actually using, and you can see it on the right here, I'm doing 30% minus exposure, some minus highlights, shadows. I'm bringing my blacks down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm boosting the dehaze. It's also off-center from what a vignette would be. Some apps let you do an off-center vignette, but right. Lightroom, the vignette is generally even corners. So let me give you another example of where this comes in handy. This is a band called One OK Rock from Self-Help Festival. Now, let me turn the radial filter off. And again, minor change. Nothing wrong with this shot.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the problem. It's busy. There's a lot going on. The monitor in the bottom right is bright. I don't care about just darkening. I want the highlights down too, right?
Yeah, and see, I'm looking at that image, and the first thing that I thought of was, oh, that's a big old sign back there in the background. It's like, what is that big sign back there in the background? And I know since we're dealing with a concert, I should probably focus more so on the actual artist right there in that scene. But this is pre post processing though, right?
There's processing done here,
mm-hmm.
but like this is done as far as processing, except for this radial filter. And you brought up that poster in the back, the banner. That's key. That's branding for the show, right?
Uh-huh.
But as soon as I throw a radial filter on, watch how the bass player that's in the air almost jumps 3D towards you.
Yeah.
Right now big it's difference. Three-dimensional. And what I've done here is only a little bit of exposure, 20, mm-hmm. minus 20. But I've got a plus 15 dehaze, a minus 10 highlights, and a minus 15 shadows to try and make the bass player jump forward. And this is where this type of thing really, really comes in handy. When you have distracting background elements or bright background elements, this can help bring that subject forward. So mm-hmm. this is Rob Halford of Judas Priest. And without the radial filter, the background is bright and kind of competing.
Mm-hmm.
Just by throwing a radial filter on, Rob suddenly becomes the spotlight and the background falls away.
There's some definite separation from the background now.
Exactly. Now think about this though. Think about the mom that's photographing somebody on a soccer field.
Mm-hmm.
And in that particular case, a lot of times it's daylight and the sky is bright. Well, take a look at this shot without a radial filter, customized radial filter. In this particular case, bass player is in focus. The singer is not, because I was focusing on the bass player and the singer's moving, the same guy who jumped off the speakers earlier. But I really want to focus on the bass player here that's in focus, but the brightness of everything is competing. So I simply put a radial filter on. You can see what it's affecting here in red. And I've done a little bit of exposure, a minus 10 on the highlights, minus 5 on the whites, some shadows, and some dehaze. Now, look at his legs, though. Here's the biggest advantage to using a radial filter to me.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at his leg, it's red. And if you look at it when I move away, his leg doesn't match the rest of him because the way a radial filter or even a vignette would work. But a radial filter gives me this. It gives me a brush option. So I can choose a brush, and I can choose the eraser brush, and I can come down here with whatever brush I want, and I can fine tune this mask to bring that leg and that foot back into the foreground, even though it doesn't match the actual mask of that radial filter.
Love it.
And now, just by doing that, I suddenly have exactly what I want. That's before.
Yep.
That's after. And his entire body is forward.
Total
this
separation.
This is the beauty.
Total separation. That's
total
so
separation.
Well,
let me give you three quick examples here that I'll just run through because I know we're limited on time here.
All right.
This is a totally different use model. I have absolutely no problem with this shot before the radial filter. It's done. Except there's metal in the scene on the drums that are reflecting highlights.
Yep.
So I can use a radial filter to do almost nothing but bring down the highlights. Just that simple. Much more effective than just the exposure of a vignette.
Yep.
Same with Gene Simmons here. I don't want to mess up those background lights. I don't want to mess Gene up. Gene's exposed. He's not changing.
Right.
But by putting this particular radial filter on, I can keep the brightness of the spotlights, but bring the shadows, the blacks down.
Add in more contrast there.
I have saved this as a concert vignette, my default setting, although I change it. I can go to a brush, and in a brush, an adjustment brush, not a radial filter, I can use my same settings, RAS concert vignette medium. I also have a high, and I can come over here and just add a little bit extra to the dark areas to make
just a further
the separation of those lights pop out just a hair more. That's because I'm using all the settings, not just the exposure of a vignette. And just to finish this off, don't think it has to be action photography.
Mm-hmm.
It can be portraiture.
Mm-hmm.
This particular portrait, this is a guy by the name of Chase Walker, good friend of mine, an amazing blues guitarist.
Oh, this is beautiful.
It's daylight.
This is beautiful.
I just brought the exposure down and added a flash to this, but it's daylight, but I wanted it to feel more moody. So I threw on this vignette, or I should say this radial filter here.
Right.
And I got this effect of nighttime. And again, that brush effect with my radial filter, I can say brush, erase, and I can go, you know what? I want this water to just show up a little teeny bit. And I can customize the look that I get by erasing. That's the advantage to a radial filter over a vignette or anything else. So there's my tip and my trick.
I absolutely love this idea because it really makes me think back to episode, I believe it was episode 14 of Hands On Photography, where I introduced selective adjustments in our workflow, you know, because we talked about the basis of getting the exposure right in camera. You know, that's the first thing you want to do. And then when you get into post-processing, we talked about all of the basis of handling exposure, handling contrast, so on and so forth. But every now and then, if you really want that subject to pop, you really got to dive into some of the selective adjustments. And you bringing out that adjustment brush just makes my heart sing. I love the selective adjustments.
You know, you and I have had the conversation before that noise reduction is a great example. Yeah. I use these for noise reduction. I don't want to noise reduce the person because they're not bad.
Right.
But the black, dark backgrounds I do. So I'll radial filter.
Yep.
And noise reduce everything outside the oval.
Smooths it out.
Right? It's super easy.
I love it. Well, Mr. Brazel, my man, thank you so much for this. This has been such a great set of tips, you know, built into this episode, especially the one with just keeping that eye open. Because again, I know so I'm guilty. I do it from time to time. And every now and then when it happens to me, I can hear a certain person that I've met online slapping me on the wrist. Open your eye, Aunt. You know better than that, you know? Yeah. And it makes a big difference.
And there's nothing more frustrating than turning your head and going,
yep.
And that moment's gone. Because you didn't see it.
Which, that's right.
I just got to say. Now, that said, let me say one thing. If you miss it, don't get down on yourself. We've all done it. There's a quote that I absolutely love. It's from a guy by the name of Stephen Furtick, who I do not know who that was until I heard this quote and looked up who did it. But I love this quote because this really is where I kind of hope all of this stuff that I mentioned takes people. The reason why we struggle with insecurity is because we compare our behind the scenes with everyone else's highlight reel. You see every shot you take.
Mm.
You only see the shots people are willing to post publicly that
That's
others
right.
take.
Mm.
Go easy on yourself. It's the journey, not the destination.
Well said, my man. Well said. So we're going to go ahead and get on up out of here for this week's episode of Hands on Photography. Mr. Brazel, thank you again. This is just been great. Tell everybody one more time where we can find you online.
So my website is stevebrazel.com. That's like the country Brazil, but two L. So stevebrazel.com. It's at Steve Brazel on Instagram. It's at Steve Brazel on Twitter as well. The podcast Behind the Shot is behindtheshot.tv on YouTube. And by the way, it's Behind the Shot TV on Twitter or Instagram. And the website is behindtheshot.tv, no.com, just .tv. On YouTube, Behind the Shot is at Behind the Shot. And we have a Flickr group, too. If you want to go over there and join in, we use the Flickr group for the critique shows that we do, which Ant has been kind enough to be a guest panelist critiquing with us as well. And it's Behind the Shot group on Flickr. And I hope you to see you at one of those. Again, PrincetonPhotoWorkshop.com for the class that I'm doing coming up in April of 2021. Three sessions, hour and a half each. Hope to see you there.
Sweet. Outstanding. Thank you again, my man. And folks, again, if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, feel free to shoot an email over to hop@twit.tv. That's hop@twit.tv. I answer all of the emails as fast as I can because you folks are quite ambitious with your reaching out and feedback, and I absolutely love it. So keep them coming, and be sure to follow me over on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, I am @_Pruitt. On Instagram, I am @_Pruitt. I try to share a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff over on Instagram and not just show off my glamorous, awesome photographs there. All right, that's going to do it for this week. Thank you all so much for the tremendous support. Thank you again to my man, Mr. Victor, for making me look and sound good. Thank you again to Mr. Brazel. Now, folks, you all safely create and dominate. Y'all take care.
If you like Android with a heavy dose of fun and entertainment, then you're going to love All About Android. It's me, Jason Howell, along with my co-hosts Ron Richards and Florence Ion. Every Tuesday, we discuss the news items that matter most, the hardware and devices that are running Android, and the apps that run on top of them. Plus, we answer your email each and every week. That's All About Android on twit.tv.